Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Word. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought that the prisoners had escaped. Paul called out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because all of us are here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the message of the Lord to him, along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds. Right away, he and all of his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had believed God was with his entire household. Father, thank you this morning for the amazing privilege we have to be here, God, today to worship you. As we culminate our week-long worship, Lord, all our time in the Word, the time in prayer we've had, Lord, the time on our mission fields, the individual mission fields that you've placed us in. Thank you for this time that we can encourage one another, challenge one another, be challenged by your word, grown in truth, love one another, laugh with one another, cry with one another, bear each other's burdens. Thank you for this. God, I pray this morning that you would move in our hearts in mighty ways. Bring us to a greater, clearer understanding of your truth. God, challenge us in ways that we've never thought that we could be challenged. God, deal with whatever it is right now that's hindering us from being what you've called and created us to do and going in the direction that you desire us to. I pray today, Lord, all of us would go to that place, Lord, of being in the center of that narrow road, which is your purpose plan and that road that leads to life. And Father, I pray that God, wherever we are, we will leave here this morning ready with nothing to hinder us, Father, but the truth of your word to lead, to guide, direct us, and us fully and faithfully committed to it. Pray if there's one here in this building or online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray this day will not close before they place their faith and trust in the finished work of salvation through Jesus Christ, confess you as Lord and Savior, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. We commit all this to you, and we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Listen to verse 25 again. So about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Leads the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it is this. No matter the situation, live with an attitude of gratitude and worship. I want to take just a moment to help you understand the setting of what's going on. This is not Bedford County Jail. This is not a federal penitentiary in modern day times. By the way, if you ever have to do time, you want to do federal time. Just a word of advice to you. You do not want to do state time. And you sure enough don't want to do county time in Rutherford County. That is a notoriously miserable place to serve. Now, I hope none of you do. If we do, I hope that we do it because we were doing the right thing. Amen? You don't want to be in there because you have done the wrong thing. You want to be in there because, let's say one day they get tired of Brother Jonathan talking about God's plan in marriage, and they hear it, right? Somebody watches online, and they file a complaint, and it becomes illegal to be discriminatory as it is now in Canada. They're arresting pastors like they're going out of style in Canada because they're calling them bigoted, and they're calling them all these horrible words, and they're putting them in jail simply for sharing the truth of God's word, which brings freedom, which brings life, which brings hope. They are now deemed that to be hate speech and are now imprisoning those in Canada just a few hundred miles north. You think it won't come here one day? Let me just tell you something. Nobody knows what the ostrich sees with his head buried in the sand, but I can assure you it's not clear vision. You can bury your head in the sand and believe, oh, it'll never happen. It's America. Yeah, the same way you told me that nobody ever would cancel church when I said one day, you never know when we could lose the privilege of coming to church. And then afterwards, I heard people say, you know, I used to laugh when you'd say it, Brother John, going, what is he trying to do, scare us? What's he trying to do, make us think that, you know, the boogeyman's going to come and shut church? There's no way. And I feel bad, Brother Jonathan, because I would laugh at you going home, and I'd laugh with my husband and my wife or whatever it was, saying there's no way that that's going to happen in at least my lifetime. Well, we learned a good lesson, didn't we, in 2020? We learned a really good lesson. A really good lesson that we have no idea what could happen tomorrow, right? Big weather balloons, right? Well, civilian weather balloons floating over parts of our country, right? No, it's just, brothers and sisters, we have no idea what can happen tomorrow. We have a God that holds our tomorrow, and we have great faith and trust in that. But I'm not banking on the world. What I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that God's the one that holds my future. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to live with an attitude of gratitude and worship. Paul and Silas had done the right thing, not the wrong thing. They had been arrested, they had been beaten, and they were in prison. Now we deal with this part of it. The attitude that they had, no matter the situation we're in, though they are wrongly imprisoned, this is what we do. We look at the context of it and say, okay, here they are. They have been put in prison wrongly, so what is their response? Have they called the Christian Action Commission to spring them from jail and gotten on social media talking about how terribly they've been treated and how miserably they've been tortured for doing nothing more, and how in the world could God let this happen? This is a travesty. No. Let me show you their response. It's right there, verse 25. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. You think they were in there because they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, body, and strength? I would assure you, most likely not. What Paul and Silas recognized, that their calling was not from man, it was from God. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had placed them in prison. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of the Macedonian call, they were exactly where they should have been. This young girl's been set free from slavery. A lot of human trafficking we've been hearing about. This girl was being trafficked. Maybe not in the way a lot of them are in this country that are being set free, but nonetheless, she was a captive to darkness. So here they are on a mission field doing exactly what God's called them to do. They're beaten and put in prison. See, the beaten part, we don't really realize. We know, we're like, well, maybe they just popped up. No, no, you don't understand. I wish I had time to go into the context of what a beating was like back then. As a matter of fact, all you need to do is get on YouTube and type in caning. And you can go over there and see what our friends in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and in Iran do. And you will find out that it is a much egregious of an act when those people are caned, and the people that cane you are trained to cane you. Caning you is not with your mama's sassafras or whatever the people talk about, had to go out and cut something off of something. No, a cane is about that big, and these people literally with a full yes. And when you get done, let me promise you, you look like a canvas of a sunset like yesterday. You are black and blue, and some of the people actually die from them. So this was not something that you would have gotten done with and done anything other than complained, unless your spiritual perspective was dead smack set and you knew that you could do what God's word says to consider yourself blessed when you suffer for his name. And Paul and Silas recognize this, because they are so much, so focused, so dead set on their call as a follower of Jesus Christ, as an ambassador and a missionary, that they are praying, singing hymns to God as the other prisoners listen to them, not complain, not whine, the gas prices, the food prices, I can't afford my medicine, the government ain't giving me enough, whatever this, that, and they should pay for everything, and it just drives me crazy that they don't. Everybody should have free access to abortion and everything else. Get out of my face. No. These were men that knew truth, knew self-responsibility, but number one, knew the call. And what was the call? The call was from God, by God, and God would meet all of their needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. And you're watching a demonstration we see in the Old Testament with Job. We're watching it right now with Paul and Silas. I have such respect for the way that they are being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. What are they? Gonna imprison them. What are they gonna do? We're watching the jailbreak of the century, but not by them. As a matter of fact, they do it in an honorable way. Amen. So here we go. Think about the importance of this setting. Think about the importance of, wow, that is a fundamental difference in how the response of a follower of Christ should be to being treated the wrong way for something that you've not done. Are you going to use it as an act by which you're able to minister and to worship and to allow God, just like Joseph, to realize that the other side of this, God has a purpose and a plan for his glory? Or are you going to get so focused on ourselves and what we think should have been done instead of what happened that somehow God missed part of the details? So what do? You call the Christian Action Commission and you begin to set all these rumblings in motion that do anything to further the kingdom. In reality, it takes away from kingdom work. Very, very deep concepts for us to think about, and it's so challenging even to me. So remember, no matter the situation, live with that attitude of gratitude and worship. Offering up sacrifice of prayer. God, I know that this situation is not beyond you, though I don't understand right now why this is like it is. You don't think I've prayed that a few times in the last few months? Again, your head's in the sand if you think I haven't. If you think I haven't, I haven't gotten mad at God. Have I been very confused at God's ways and his thoughts in it? Yes, but I know that it's me who has the issue. It doesn't have anything to do with him. He's in the midst of it all from day one, and he sees the end as he does every single step. So I continue to trust God because God is ever faithful, and God cannot deny and God cannot violate his very nature and character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's why I rest in that. And then verses 26 and 27 again. So suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up, saw the doors of the prison open, he drew his sword, was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. Here's the second thing that I want to share with you this morning is this: God's power cannot and will not be hindered by man. You can lock up Paul and Silas, you can lock up Joseph, but God has a purpose and a plan for it. And I really love the response here when this earthquake opens the jail, the chains are gone. Paul and Silas could have, let's roll, folks. What'd they do? Paul and Silas were well aware that if this man had abdicated his responsibility, allowed them to escape, he would have been killed. You know why he was going to kill himself? Because him killing himself would have been much less torturous and shameful and less painful than what they would have done to him. Paul doesn't want that to happen. What does he do? He uses it as a ministry opportunity. Matter of fact, to the detriment of himself, because they could have not been able to get away due to the fact that he stays there as all the other prisoners do. What does he do? He uses this as an avenue to honor, to worship, to glorify, and to expand the kingdom work. What do we know? When everything that we do is in line with God's purpose, plan, and will, it will succeed. Do we know that God would have cared about this jailer coming to faith in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, because the scripture says, as well as that none should perish. Did Paul run a risk in Silas of that man going, nope, we're locking you back up? I don't care what happened with this jailer. No, you think God couldn't have done it again? Next time, killed all the jailers? Absolutely. But what Paul and Silas cared most about was the hearts of mankind. And guess what we do when we see that? When we also care about the hearts of mankind, we are caring about the heart of God. Because what does God care about? Number one, his creation. What level with which do humans fall in the care of God's creation and everything else in line goes under that? Number one, he cares about is us, people, humans. He's given us a soul that can never die. Everything else in his creation falls under that. So we know that Paul and Silas are dealing with the number one thing: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. We're watching that manifest in what's happening right there. So God's power cannot, it's not going to be hindered, my man. And it's such a powerful thing here, because we see in just a second here, this whole entire spiritual dimension that opens up in this. We're watching the physical thing. God cannot and will not be stopped. You cannot stop what God wants to do. Man, in America right now, God could have stopped everything. God's given mankind free will. You're watching right now. As a matter of fact, I got an email about it this morning, I think, from AFA, American Family Association, about some briefings they're filing because some churches are not being allowed. The cities are now, they don't like them, these churches in some of these real, we'll just call them liberal cities that disdain Christianity and want this whole new, no absolute morals. They want relativism. They're starting to find ways now to not allow churches to have church in the church. They're saying, you know, it violates the city codes and all this stuff. So churches that have been fellowshipping in places forever have now been told you can't go back, the same way they tried to do with MacArthur's church, Grace to You, in California during COVID. You know who won that lawsuit, right? They didn't shut down at all. Guess who won the lawsuit? Grace to You did. Guess what Gavin Newsom and the governor of California had to do? They had to pay all their legal costs and all the money. Amen? You can do it all. You can try anything you want to do, but you are not in any way going to stop the power of the gospel, the power of God's truth, His word, and His plan. And I'm so thankful about that, because sometimes it can be quite disconcerting and concerning when you start to hear rumblings from the leadership of our nation about the problematic issue of Christians and Christianity, and this intolerant stance with which Christians and Christianity take. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't have anything to do with what we say and what we think. It has to do with a standard that we can't change. It doesn't have anything to do with what I think about the Bible. Doesn't change anything. Truth is truth, period, and we either proclaim truth or we're nothing but a prophet of misery that is stealing, robbing people of truth. So are you going to be a person that teaches, lives, and proclaims truth? Or are you going to be a sugar daddy, is what I call it? You get you a sugar daddy today, and you chew on sugar daddies every night, don't brush your teeth, what you going to get? Not only a sugar high in the early time, right? You're going to wake up, and you're going to be hypoglycemic because you have this big sugar rush in your body, right? So it's also going to rot your teeth out. What is truth? Truth is the meat of God's word. Sometimes you choke on it, right? Trying to digest the meat of God's word, it takes time. But what does it do? It grows you. It builds you. It's not a cheap high like self-service and the deception that the world wants to take us captive in. So remember, God's power cannot, it will not be hindered by man. Do not follow anyone ever that tries to tell you about their new revelation and how, oh, well, Paul was talking to the church back then and they were having an issue. Don't buy into it, church. Let me tell you something. I believe everything from cover to cover. Because if you don't, might as well throw the whole thing out, walk out this door and never come back. Because either God's word is truth or what else is not truth. And why would you spend your time believing what you would think is a lie if you buy into that theology? I'm thankful that God's word, His truth, and the power of God is able to give us the untainted word of God. And I know this morning that when I don't understand something in the Bible, it doesn't have anything to do with it may not be truth. It has to do with the fact that I am finite, and me understanding fully and comprehending the infinites of a God that is infinite is not going to happen. Amen? And when I don't understand something, it doesn't have anything to do with Him. It has everything to do with me. How many people would try to explain this away? Well, there just happened to be a phenomenon in the shifting of the plates at that moment that allowed this earthquake to occur. And because of that, there was a resonating sound that allowed the shackles to be unhindered. And there's people that do that. When I see the power of God, I'm not going to explain it away. I know that I'm going to give God glory. The same way I see right here, because I know that God deserves the glory, He deserves the praise, He deserves the honor. My question to you right now, when God does the supernatural in your life, do you give God glory or do you explain it away? How about when you were late by 5 minutes? How many people at church the other week, if Brother Jonathan hadn't been a little late on preaching, who would have been in that wreck? I know part of my family could have been the one that happened at El Bethel that night. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that? Anybody thought about that? I did. First night I thought about it. The first second, it literally had happened just minutes. Had I not been late that night in preaching, my family or a number of you who went through that at that same time could have been in that accident. See, there's reasons for everything. I have to trust God, and I know the same way that God can do this. Don't explain it away. Well, Brother Jonathan, you're just always long-winded. No, you want to do? Okay, go ahead. Keep saying that. That's called God's ability to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, and allow things that sometimes you might want to get home on Sunday night to get in bed earlier. That 5 or 10 minutes God could have potentially used to save one of our lives. So I'm so thankful that God is so much bigger. God understands it so much more powerfully and profound than we do and uses all circumstances. So the next time you have a flat tire and you're going to be late, instead of standing there and cursing and getting all upset and wound up and built up and going, I can't believe it always happens to me. Why don't you start praising God and saying, Lord, I know there's a reason for this. And God, I want to glorify you, and maybe I'll never know the reason for this, but God, I know there is one, and I want to thank you for orchestrating everything, even down to a pop tire, a flat tire, that you can use to protect my life or to put me in the company of someone today that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. There's so many different reasons it can happen. Open-minded spiritually and say, God, everything happens for a reason. Worship, praise, and sing hymns of joy to him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's my default when I get frustrated and don't like the circumstances of what I'm dealing with. It's a really good verse for that. Just say it over and over and over, because it just reaffirms the truth of God, his word, his plan, his purpose. And then verses 28 through 34, and we'll finish. So, but Paul calls out in a loud voice, don't harm yourself, because all of us are here. Then the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the message of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds right away. He and his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had believed God with his entire household. Leads the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning. It's this. Never underestimate God's power to save and deliver through the darkest of circumstances. Amen. Paul and Silas are in prison. And I would say in the course of just an hour or two, they're sitting at the jailer's house, not only having led them to Christ, but now the man that is their captor is feeding them. You want to tell me only God can orchestrate things? Isn't that amazing? I don't know if it just blows your mind, but it does me. It makes me smile inside, because there's nothing too big for the power of God to take a circumstance that seems so unoptimal and turn around and literally turn it into a lighthouse for captives in the kingdom work. Look at the circumstances in your life as avenues with which God is either preparing you for something new, preparing you, as yesterday, I wasn't supposed to even go where I was going to go until Monday, but by the circumstances that happened, I ended up yesterday afternoon standing in front of this guy. He wasn't even part of who I was talking to, but walked up and introduced himself to me, which was, I was actually kind of going in my mind, I wonder why he's coming up to talk to me. Well, instead of continuing to talk to the person, I thought, well, maybe they wanted them to talk to me. I don't know. So I begin this conversation. And for whatever reason, I didn't find it, even though I could tell this person was waiting to finish talking to me. I couldn't stop telling them in that initial question that person asked me this whole entire picture of why I ended up where we were at yesterday. And then this person asking me, how can I get involved in doing that and others? You never know how these conversations that so easily we can get focused on ourselves and go, I don't have time for this, I'll talk later. Do that and you'll miss opportunities that potentially you'll never get again. Take that moment, it just takes a minute or two. Yep, late to dinner last night, didn't chicken wings too, amen? One very few times we ever have chicken wings. I got chicken wings I have to eat tomorrow because we couldn't get in to eat the chicken wings last night because I was late. because we're talking to somebody about the Lord. God uses these things supernaturally in our lives to orchestrate, I call them divine appointments. Paul and Silas are seeing him. Look back on your life right now. Maybe you've missed some, and look, thinking back right now, you're going, you know what? Man, God stuck me in front of them this week. I never even thought of that. You've got to have that thought and mindset of looking at every single person that comes into your presence as a divine appointment. I mean that, every one of them. Just like the man that I had that was from, and look, I don't even remember now, but he was from overseas. I shared it last week and the week before. God sticks me in front of this guy for a 1 hour, divinely. That one, the one yesterday, and I know there's been three or four of them between that, that I literally say, I couldn't set these up and orchestrate them if I wanted to, but he can. The question, are we having the spiritual discernment, are our eyes open, our ears open, and our hearts willing to have those conversations when God presents them to us? Because God will present them to us. We don't have to go looking for them. All we have to do is be aware of our surroundings in an attitude of worship and praise, submitted and sacrifices, living sacrifices to the Lord. God will put those in your life literally on a daily basis. So looking at this picture, now we see this jailer saved. Now Paul and Silas, by the way, what else did he do? He washes their wounds. Guess what? Remember what I talked to you about with that whipping, with that beating? Anybody ever had a beating that brought wounds? What do you think he would have done? Wiped off their bruises? No, they were bleeding. When you're caned over there, watch one of those videos, y'all. You can watch them all day long. It'll move, it'll disturb you, but you will see what I'm talking about. They literally beat you bloody all the way up your back. Not on your behind, on your back. Again, there's a number of instances and occasions that people die from these. So this man binds up, he treats the wounds. This is how God can do. This jailer realized these men should not be in prison. They have been supernaturally sprung from prison. He wanted what they had. How could these men pray and worship and sing praises after we beat them like that? I want what you have. Are you living that life where people are watching the power of God manifest in you, and they say, as I've heard, I can't even tell you the number of times, I know many of you shared this, I've had people, I can't even tell you how many times they've come up and said, I want what you have. And I'll say, what are you talking about? There's something about, I want what you have. You have peace, you have joy, I want to know what it is. Oh, what an open door. How many times I've been able to say, well, sit down, let's talk. What do I share? I used to be just like you. I was hopeless and hurting and broken. But I had a divine encounter with the God of all creation who set me free from the bondage of the misery that carrying your sin debt yourself will bring you. It'll make you angry. It'll make you intensely overwhelming paranoia and fear and depression, anxiety. I had anxiety that made anxiety look, it made me anxious because my anxiety was so in the stratosphere, it wasn't normal anxiety. Mine was hyper anxiety. Praise God, to God be the glory. You know what? One of those things that compelled that was a fear of death. You know, when you're not scared to die, it's amazing how anxiety has no power over you. People don't realize that anxiety, the majority of the root of that is, your heart starts beating fast because you're stressed out about what's going on. And then in your mind, you go, oh no, I'm going to die. I can't breathe. And then you've got this overwhelming circle that begins to go just like the mouse inside the wheel, and you begin to get more nervous, and you start, right, what does your body do? It takes all your blood and puts the organs, so you get in a clammy sweat, and your mouth gets dry, and you go, oh, I'm dying. My heart, I'm going to die. You're not dying. You're scared to die. And what happens is that's fear, and God's not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So see, when you get whatever is the root of that and deal with that, you know what? It has no more power over you. I have AFib. My heart's been skipping the last couple days, actually. You know, it's interesting. I was sitting there thinking, I don't know why. What was happening? Oh, there was something happening. Oh, I had chest pain the other night, Friday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Went on until late Saturday. And every about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, I have this real hard pain in my chest. And it was funny because I said, you know, it's so ironic that years ago, I would have been a wreck. I would have been an absolute wreck. You know, oh man, I've been laying on the ground or whatever else I'd have been doing, freaked out, gonna die. Open the door, let's roll. Amen. This world is not my home, church. Now, am I going to be foolish? No. But I don't worry about these physical things, because all of these physical things are passing away. And what are they doing? They're revealing an eternal glory that far outweighs all of this earthly stuff. I hope that this morning, as you see that, not ever underestimating God's power to save and deliver through the darkest of circumstances, no matter what you're dealing with, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't understand why he's doing it. Sometimes he lets us see how. We're able to see someone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. We're able to see a marriage that's delivered because of a bad circumstance that someone else has, or whatever happens. That's a blessing when God, he doesn't have the obligation for everything that happens in our life for us to know exactly why on this side of heaven. But we can trust and know full well that everything that's happening is for a divine purpose and a reason, that in time, whether it's in this part of eternity or whether it is in the real eternity, after this menial vapor of a life is over, we can trust that God is using each one of them for his glory. Are you allowing God to change your heart today? I had a conversation with somebody this morning. They were having some things they needed to work on. I said, just pray. You have a desire. Hear the desire in your words. Pray that God would change this, the part that you're having trouble putting that into action. Say, God, I want to do these things right now, and I'm having a hard time doing it. I just said, start praying. Be honest with God and tell him, God, I'm having trouble getting this part of my life to where I know it needs to be. And I said, just pray. God will honor that because you are wanting to honor the Lord with your life. And I said, just start telling God when you think about it this afternoon and when you think about it tomorrow, God, I'm dealing with this thing and I know I need to be doing this and I'm having a hard time doing it. With Paul, the things I should do, I don't, and the things that I shouldn't do, I do. Pray, talk to the Lord about it. All of us should be this way. Are you telling God when you have the heart to do what you should, but you're battling the flesh and not doing it, are you saying, God, change me, Lord, conform me into your will and your likeness? If not, you're missing the greatest ability to invite God to be God and to change you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who is the only one that can renew our minds? God. We can't renew our minds, or we wouldn't need them. God's saying, invite me, let me renew your mind. We've got to give him the ability and the power to do that. This morning, the generational worksheets, I printed some off, those of you who want some. Maybe you have things from your past, your family, familial, generational things. Get those deliverance worksheets, take them home and start. You better be praying over them, I'll tell you that, because the attacks come when you start wanting to get serious about the spiritual things that are potentially holding you in bondage. Be ready for that spiritual warfare, but hey, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God is big, he's awesome, he's powerful, he's loving, and he will do what the scripture says, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have real friends speaking truth into your life, I would assure you, you better get rid of the ones you've got. It's much better to have somebody in your life that loves you enough to speak truth into your life than to have them, I call them the online friends. Online friends will tell you exactly what you want to hear. Why? Because they get in there and blow each other up and, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so great and it's amazing. Wait till you go into the depths of despair. I've actually seen this many years ago when I was on Facebook, and I'd see someone who would start getting real, real negative. And you know what's interesting and ironic, that in the beginning when something would happen, they would have all these people, hey, you're there, you're great, and you're this, that, and the other. But then they would see that invoked people to do that, so they'd keep doing it. It pulls you into that mindset. You know what I watched? I remember going, after 6 months, 8 months, I remember seeing nobody would comment then. You know why? The more something smells, the farther you tend to get away from it, don't you? Be careful, because the enemy invites us to those parties and we can become captivated by the attention that negative behavior invokes. But yet we don't realize it's like somebody in high school when they want to go out and have
those parties out in the fields, and everybody's having a big time, and they're drinking that hops and barley, right, and acting foolish. And everybody thinks you're cool when you're young like that, right, in high school. Anybody know anybody that gets, and they've got a major alcohol problem at 30 or 40 years old? Do those same people say, man, I tell you, they're so cool. They can't hold a job. They lost their family. They don't have a license. They've got 6 DUIs, and they're going to spend 3 years in prison. Man, they are just so cool. Anybody found one? I haven't found one yet. It's ironic that you're celebrated for being the awesome partier in high school, but yet in adulthood, when that same group is agging and cheering you on, once that bite and that grip takes hold of you, happy trails. You are left to fight that beast on your own by the very people who cheered you into it. We see that with all kinds of addictions. Be very careful what you surround yourself with, church. You say, Brother Jonathan, how do you know all this? Because I deal with people every single day. Not only in 15 years of pastoring, but remember, I was a policeman before that. You think I didn't see the other side of this? I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and I've experienced it more than anybody else could imagine. I know how this stuff works. That's why I always warn our youth, be very careful. Those same people you think are your buddies, they're not going to be your buddies when that thing gets hold of you, and you'll find yourself standing there completely isolated and alone with no one, because addiction and the lies of Satan desire you and you alone. That deception wants you and you alone, and it'll remove everything and everyone around you until you're standing there going, what happened? Don't buy the lie, church. Stand in truth, because whether it's prison, whether it's death, to God be the glory. Look at Stephen. I see heaven open, Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father as he's being put to death simply for sharing the gospel with people and offering the pathway to salvation and to share the light of Christ. He was killed for it. As they gnashed their teeth, they were so furious and were so resistant to truth as he was lovingly trying to share the gospel with them. They are gnashing their teeth, throwing rocks at him, and killing him. As he's praying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This morning, what is the sum total of your life? Remember, nothing can stop God's power. Do you want to be in the kingdom of light as an agent with which God's using to speak life, deliver, set free captives to sin? Are you wanting to open your doors for the least of these? Still have tons and tons of foster kids all over Tennessee. And by the way, the United States, for that matter, they can, from other states, can get children from other states that don't have homes, that need adopted. You want to do something that's going to long outlive? And I was telling that man last night, I said, you know what's so awesome when you invest in lives? What is so awesome about it is, see, I can build an empire, dirt empire, world's empire, but see, when I die, eventually that empire crumbles. I said, it crumbles. It goes away. It's only a matter of time before there's no name on that building anymore. You can set up a trust that gives to people and is a self-sustaining. One day it's going to be gone too. But when you invest in the lives of people, what do? You establish a legacy that cannot be extinguished, because as those people then go on to minister to other people down the road, you have a lasting legacy that does not die with time and history, because each one of those that you've impacted in the faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to spend your eternity with, and they're all shining examples of something that you invested in that had eternal rewards. Amen? What are you investing in today? No matter the situation, live with an attitude of gratitude and worship. No matter the circumstance, start it today when you go home. Maybe you get caught at a light, get caught in traffic, something happens. Force yourself literally to go, God, thank you for this. I don't know why. I don't understand this. Even saying this, Lord, feels so weird to me. God, thank you. You get a bill this week that you didn't expect. God, thank you. God, thank you for the resources to take care of this, or maybe you don't have them. God, I'm trusting that you're going to take care of what you promised to provide all of my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ. God, praise you and thank you that your promises are steadfast and that you will not break your word. You know what'll happen? You'll find yourself rejoicing and in a place of the power of positive thinking, using the worldly perspective, but it's truth. You'll find yourself living on the sunny side because you will see that you let the God that promises to supply all your needs, he says, what? Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's saying, give me your burdens, give me your struggles, I'll take care of it. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. So what he does, he says, give me all the trouble, and you sit and worship. I think it's a pretty awesome trade, to be honest. And I love that trade myself because I know that God always does his part. Paul and Silas are literally living the ministry dream. Brother Jonathan, how can you even say that? Because when you suffer for truth, consider yourself blessed that you were found worthy to suffer for, Scripture says, the name. What is the name? The name of Jesus Christ. They were in prison because they allowed a young lady to be set free from demonic possession. I don't see any greater reason to go to jail. If you've got to go to jail for doing something, praise God. We set a young lady free from bondage that would have been a prisoner her whole life. If they'd have spent the rest of their lives ministering in prison, what had they lost? Nothing. But they'd allowed a young lady who had most likely been a prisoner most of her life to live, to be set free. Is that your heart's desire today? And if it's not, I would challenge you to begin doing what I said to somebody today. Start praying. God, I'm finding out that I pray a lot for me, but I'm not praying a lot, Lord, for me to be able to minister to others. God, would you open doors like that and then let me see them when they are placed in front of me? Lord, let me share what you've done in my life with others so that they can see, whether it's sharing about a story of adoption. I don't mind you sharing our story. Sharing about how you can open your heart, open your home, open your... Why? Because we love because he first loved us. Paul and Silas are able to love because Jesus had saved them and he first loved them. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be. And get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.